This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. Two rounds of well-organized precipitation are expected to impact much of the Midwest during the next 2 weeks. World Weather Incorporated says much of the Midwest will see up to 6/10 of an inch of moisture this weekend, with a few bands of heavier precipitation in the south. Eastern North Dakota to Wisconsin could see as much as 3 inches of snow. Nearly widespread precipitation will fall late next week into the following weekend, with early indications suggesting moisture totals approaching an inch.
Temperatures are to remain cooler in the coming days throughout the northern Red River Valley. That according to Grand Forks-based National Weather Service meteorologist Jacob Spender.
For the remainder of today, we're looking at temperatures kind of remaining in the 30s in the southern Red River Valley and the mid to upper 20s as you head further north. The cooler spots, we still have snowpack across the area. That'd be up toward Langdon. When we get into tomorrow, we will start to increase those chances for precipitation. Now, it's areas that are in the southern Red River Valley. We're looking at warmer temperatures, so we're going to see rain more so down there with snow chances tomorrow afternoon in the Devil's Lake Basin into the northern Red River Valley.
And Spender says we can expect some snow.
Over time, we will start to usher in cooler air. That is when we get into the late Saturday into early Sunday morning, when we start to increase those chances for snow across the area. And then we're going to add some wind on top of that as well for Sunday afternoon and late morning. Now, with those windy conditions, on top of falling snow, we could get reductions to visibility. However, there is still uncertainty with how severe those impacts may be or anything like that. But we are looking at accumulating snow chances across the area, with the best chance and higher confidence toward north central Minnesota, where we are in that Bemidji through Lake of the Woods area.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the northern plains have largely missed out on major snowfall this winter, contributing to worsening drought conditions.
Keep looking at that departure from snowfall map, and Red River Valley still showing deficits for the season of anywhere from 12 to roughly 20 inches. For the season to date, all these storms keep hitting further to the south. Even recently, you know, the big storm this week hit from Kansas through Nebraska into Wisconsin. The one before that hit Minnesota, so central part of Minnesota. It just seemed to be missing out.
Rippey said that the latest National Weather Service outlook suggests drought could expand and intensify into the summer.
So we are still looking at a pattern where the bigger storms are passing to the south and east. Maybe more problematically is that the new seasonal outlooks that came out on March 20th from the National Weather Service are actually a little bit more bullish on drought starting during the spring, and maybe seeing that dry pattern reestablished across the high plains. And then even more problematically, seeing that dryness, that dry signal expanding eastward as we move into mid and late summer.
Much of Brazil and Paraguay will see regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms over the next 2 weeks. World Weather Incorporated says enough rain will fall to maintain and or improve safrinha crop conditions in nearly all areas. Argentina is expected to see a wet pattern through the next 2 weeks, and improvements in crop and soil conditions will occur in the driest areas of the north.
USDA's weekly export sales report shows combined old and new crop corn sales 1.56 million metric tons, 59% more than the previous week, 44% more than the four-week average. Soybean sales at 353,000 tons are 56% less than the previous week, 33% less than the four-week average. Net wheat sales, though, disappointing, 242,000 metric tons, and included net old crop cancellations of 249,000 tons. That's a marketing year low and 72% less than the previous week, 39% below the four-week average.
The latest export sales report containing good and bad, which had the markets moving in different directions. Allendale commodity broker Greg McBride said the corn export sales almost setting a weekly record.
Very good sales for corn, 1.5 million tons for the old crop, about 62,000 tons for the new crop. But overall, this would be the second best week for this particular week in history for corn sales. Looks very good. This has been something that we've been talking about for a long time, how those corn sales are very good. They're holding up that corn market and keeping us from seeing ending stocks from getting too high here and sitting at beneficial spots. It's just getting the price to come back.
On the other hand, the soybean export totals for the week were disappointing.
On the bean side of things, another disappointing week here. So we had a rebound last week, saw it fall off this week, 352.6 thousand tons. That was well below the lower end of guesses. So as we go into this, we know that this is the time of the year where Brazil has the advantage. Brazil has got a fresh crop to move. This is normal for us. Now, part of this also could be a concern over tariffs that are going to go into effect on April 2nd. But this is also, like I said, very normal at this time of the year to see these bean sales backing off as we go into late winter and early spring.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins has announced key agency appointments within USDA. Pennsylvania farmer Bill Beam will lead the Farm Service Agency. Beam was the FSA Deputy Administrator of Farm Programs during the first Trump administration. The Administrator of Risk Management Agency is Iowa farmer Pat Swanson. Swanson has served a term on the Federal Crop Insurance Board and was a National Director for the American Soybean Association. Swanson and her husband also own a crop insurance agency. The new Natural Resource Conservation Service chief is Aubrey Betancourt. Betancourt was a deputy assistant secretary in the Interior Department during Trump's first term. She is now a government relations director for an irrigation company and previously served as president and chief executive officer of the Almond Alliance. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota House Ag Budget Bill is getting closer to a final vote. House Ag Committee co-chair Paul Anderson said he believes in the bill.
Well, we put together a good bill, and it was we were given a target, a good target above the base, so we went ahead and did that. It passed out of our committee, but mind you, we had an advantage at that time of a 7-6 advantage in voting, and the DFL pushed back on it. To be frank about it, but they weren't. They didn't have any proposals, but they didn't really request any either. So the bill passed. It's now, it was heard in the Ways and Means Committee on Monday, and it was laid over there, and we're working trying to come to an agreement where we can add some DFL provisions, and we'll have to take some of ours out to keep that spending target intact.
One key disagreement between the parties involves funding for farm-to-school programs, which lost federal support.
And I said, we cannot backfill all the money coming from Washington because their checkbook is a whole lot bigger than ours. I think the total was $18 million in a couple of programs that were really pandemic-era programs put into place back during the pandemic, and evidently now somebody feels that those programs have outlived their usefulness. But be that as it may, that was the biggest thing that they talked about. They said that we were putting, supporting ethanol, supporting E15 before feeding children.
House Bill 1318 is a bill that would require registered pesticides to have sufficient warning labels displayed on them. North Dakota Grain Growers Association Director Sarah Lovis spoke in favor of the bill while clarifying its intent.
House Bill 1318 is not a bill about whether glyphosate is a carcinogenic or not, or whether it's safe to use. The EPA has already done all that work and has allowed for its sale and use within the parameters of the label. Rather, House Bill 1318 is about whether the label is sufficient in warning the public about its hazards. The label and the MSDS for each pesticide clearly explains the risks for human health, and the label is explicit for pesticide safety handling.
Love has talked about the need for streamlining labeling requirements.
In recent years, it has become somewhat uncertain about the availability of some pesticides during the growing season. Federal court proceedings or the EPA have vacated labels almost instantaneously with little to no warning for agriculture and with little to no scientific evidence for the label vacation. This creates a challenging situation to manage pests in farming. Further, often alternative pesticides are more expensive and often less effective for the pest situation. This proposed legislation would help protect North Dakota agriculture from label vacations with no scientific basis.
South Dakota Governor Larry Roden has been traveling the state and sharing information about his Open for Opportunity tour. During a recent stop, Roden said the hope is to bring what towns are doing or wanting to do together with what state government is working on to access the best economic development opportunities possible.
I think the biggest thing of all is open communication, the conversations we had and what comes to the surface when you're talking to real people in the real world with real world problems, real world successes and how to compound on that, things that we've not done well in the past that we're working toward.
One area Roden thinks has potential for expansion is international trade.
Luke Lindberg started a South Dakota Office of International Trade 2 years ago. Luke and I have since become very, very good friends. He reached out to me, and I traveled with him 2 years ago to Mexico City, then later led trade missions to Japan and Taiwan. And prior to that, I think we were South Dakota's ranked dead last in international trade. We're going to change that. I was amazed that we were meeting with national figures and politicians, and they had their hats in their hand. They were just super excited to visit with us. I think to date we've had an 80-to-1 return on investment. Very encouraging.
A proposal from the U.S. Trade Representative to impose fees on ocean carriers with ties to China could significantly impact U.S. farmers and ranchers. With two-thirds of all agricultural exports shipped overseas, increased transportation costs could strain the industry. Proposed fees, part of an effort to counter China's dominance in global shipping, could reach up to $1.5 million per vessel, adding an estimated $372 million to $930 million in annual costs for bulk agricultural exporters. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Emily Beal. Emily, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
Highly pathogenic avian influenza came over to the United States in 2022, and it was brought over by the migration of wild birds from Europe and Asia. Now, HPAI cases, for a while, only popped up during spring and fall months, and that is important to note because that is when wild birds migrate and the migration pattern happens. But now we are seeing HPAI cases pop up outside of those months, and that is greatly worrying experts because it means that the disease is here and it's free flowing. So the poultry industry has obviously been devastated by this HPAI outbreak, and consumers are seeing it as they're filling up their grocery carts. And egg prices have skyrocketed in recent months due to the egg shortage due to HPAI. I was able to speak with the North Dakota Grocers Association president, and I asked him, hey, are these grocery stores making an immense profit because of how high eggs have gone? And he said, at least for North Dakota rural grocery stores, that couldn't be further from the truth. After he spoke to a couple of his groups, he said they're making around a 4% profit margin, which he told me is a very, very low profit margin. He says that serious action needs to be taken, and the government does have some plans laid out to combat HPAI. They will be spending $1 billion, and it's a 5-pronged plan to really get HPAI taken care of and get the poultry industry back up on its feet and to help lower egg prices.
Thanks, Emily. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
May Wheat Minneapolis up half a cent, 605 and a quarter. May Wheat Chicago up half a cent as well, 557 and three quarters. KC Wheat's up a penny and three quarters, 588 and a quarter. May corn down a nickel, 4.64 even. May soybeans down 2.5 cents, 10.10 and a half. In Winnipeg, May canola's up 40 cents, now 30 cents per metric ton, 573 even Canadian. April live cattle down a buck 47, 207 even. April feeders down 355 at 284.90. April lean hogs up 95 cents, 86.50. Have a great weekend. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.